This is TWiT.
So let's talk about car, because this is a we're going to start seeing CarPlay stuff soon, right? Mm-hmm. And Android, same thing. Google really wants Android in the car, not necessarily mutually exclusive. But this is a good article in the New York Times this week by Aaron Kessler and Brian X. Chen. Apple has 200 people working on electric vehicle technology. We've been talking about that. Google, of course, working, as we've known for years, on autonomous vehicles. For some reason, though, it's the CarPlay or the Android Auto that's really going to be, that's going to be the first, the beginning.
Well,
of
both of these sit on top of QNX. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, QNX was the easiest one to layer them on top of.
Right. So I think that it sounds like the big winner in some ways is BlackBerry, of all things.
Because they own QNX. Yeah, they bought them.
Yeah, so BlackBerry sits on top of QNX. And so whether you're using Android or iOS, and I think it does give Apple, or not Apple, but the car manufacturers a, you know, kind of middle ground so they could switch if they needed to. You know, and they're not committing to one or the other.
What...
It's also, I mean, I forget it. I was talking to Sam Abulsamid, who was the guy from GM who was doing a lot of their car tech stuff, and he was pointing out that the autonomous stuff and the automatic stuff sounds great, but it's way in the future. Right now, if you have rain or snow or something, those cars are completely flummoxed. It's a beautiful dream, but the stuff like CarPlay and Android Auto are the present. They're much more, they're going to be what we use for a long time to come before we get to,
you know, we talked for a long time about Ford Sync. That was a big advertiser for a couple of years on the network. That was based on Microsoft Car. Ford this year has abandoned Microsoft Car, and they're now doing QNX with both Android Auto and CarPlay available by the end of 2016.
It's a great Canadian embedded real-time operating system.
Do you have to have QNX to do CarPlay and Auto?
No, it's just super easy to surface the stuff that you need. So the CarPlay and Android Auto have to interface with the in-car entertainment system. And QNX made that super easy to do. I'm sure embedded Android, embedded Linux can do it as well. But the QNX team was very good to work with and was a very quick process for them to do. And a lot of cars already use them. So it was advantageous to everybody.
It is also the case that people complain about, for instance, Ford Sync, especially my Ford Touch, which was a user interface layer on top of it, that people just said, it's too complicated. We can't figure it out. Ford basically acknowledged it, did an update. People still complained. So it makes sense to say, well, let's take a step back and why not let the UI be determined by something people already understand, their phone, and by two companies that really know how to make UI. Siri, of course, is much better than anything.
Call Toyota and tell them that, Leo. You just give.
What do they do? What does Toyota do?
They were going to do CarPlay and they were going to do Android Auto, and then they gave the New York Times a quote saying that they're not going to do that now. That they believe that the future is in their proprietary interface.
Wow.
They might revisit it in the future. They're still talking to Google and Apple, but not soon.
And I think for the most part, a lot of these manufacturers, whether it's camera manufacturers or auto manufacturers, a lot of them are, you know, they think that the secret sauce to what they're selling is the interface, you know, how you're interfacing with your Canon or your Nikon or your car. And they're generally, in my opinion, wrong, because I think it's one of those things that they really should stay out of that and focus on the other parts that they provide in that
voice,
area.
Do you have voice in your car, Alex? Do you have voice recognition in your car?
I have old cars.
My wife has
I have like this old Ford Explorer that I drive around in Pennsylvania, and then I got my older Beamer.
Carlita that I have. That's right. You have old cars. Yeah.
Carlita has a CRV, and she can ask the car for directions, and then it pops up this absolutely horrid looking interface of how to get there, you know, and I won't use it.
My very fancy Audi, terrible voice recognition. Yeah. And the voice coming back sounds drunk every time. It just sounds drunk. It's terrible. And yet this is Audi state of the art car electronics, but they couldn't do that part right. How about you, Renee? Yeah. What do you have in your car?
I bought an all-wheel drive Toyota the year before they got any sort of real integration. And I asked them if I could upgrade it, and they said, no, I have to buy a new car. And I was waiting until they had a CarPlay version. But in light of their recent comments, I'm going to be cross-shopping now. But the next car I buy is definitely going to have it, and it's definitely going to be compatible with both.
I think Toyota's going to learn that lesson, aren't they?
Yeah.
He has Siri in his BMW, early adopter, I guess, and he says it's truly the first hands-free experience. He's really apparently a fan.
I would like to have an offline mode because I don't ever want to be driving between cities and suddenly have my voice control or my navigation stop. So I think it behooves them to get more offline things going. But I think in general, it's a great idea.
And that's one of the reasons probably the car recognition, voice recognition isn't great is because it is offline. It is in the car, right? It's not the new stuff won't be, but in my Audi, it's the car doing the thing.
Nearline would be best, like online whenever it's available and then shunt back to local when it's not available. Yeah.
Andy, yeah, you probably drive a 63. If this were
a movie, you would look at my car and think, there goes the last honest cop in a corrupt town.
Do you have a Jeff Williams car, Andy? Do you have a Jeff Williams car?
I'm very, very proud that I have a car that it reached 175,000 miles. It is running like a top, and I'm trying to get it to 200 because I would be proud as hell if I made it. That's an indication of good, safe driving.
Those Crown Vics just never die, do they?
It's not a Crown Vic, but it is a fleet vehicle. This is why I like fleet vehicles. They are designed so mm-hmm. that they run forever. They're easy to maintain. I love them. But every time I'm in like a rental car, I can never get used to that screen in the center dash. I have a permanently mounted RAM mount holder for my phone, and I've installed it like at the same level as my side view mirror. I can just sort of flick my eyes toward it to get like navigation information. Every time the screen is like over here on a rental car, I have to go like, and I feel like I'm just not
so dangerous.
It's just not a smart thing to do.
What Andy I'm just also, did, by the way, is fall over sideways to read his dash.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
Radios.
And that's really a lot of this. The feds do have guidelines, but I think it's not going to be too long, given the hazards of distracted driving, before these guidelines become rules for how this stuff works. And really, voice recognition is the key to this, I think.
I think it's also pushing the demand up for self-driving cars, because as you start saying that we can't do that, then people get, you know, very, I think that's really creating a situation where people really want to not drive their car anymore. And I think that the regulations are important. I do think people should not be doing so much with their phone in the car. But I also think that it is it really starts a cascade that probably is not good for the car industry in the long run, because people will first stop. One self-driving cars, and once they have self-driving cars, they won't want to own them. And then, you know, they'll just want to rent them. And before you know it, you have a much smaller demand for cars.
That's why some people have said to Ford, why are you interested in this? This is going to cut your sales dramatically.
But it's better for, I remember commuting to work for a decade, and it was an hour and a half commute, and I would see people reading newspapers on their steering wheels.
Oh, terrible.
Eating with two hands. So the distraction thing is real, but the electronics haven't fixed it. They've made it either the same or worse.
Right.
My colleague Georgia had the same problem I had. I rent a car, I go in there, you plug in your phone, all you want to do is use your Apple Maps or your Google Maps, but they start playing your iPod music, and you try to turn it off, and it turns off the voice navigate. Mm. And it's so poorly integrated. But if I could just land at an airport, get in a car, and it has Android Auto or it has CarPlay in it, and I have my apps, I can press Overcast, listen to my podcast, press the mouse button, listen to my navigation, not have to worry about that. That to me is a huge win. And Alex's beautiful self-driving future, I'll get into the next self-driving car and it'll just have my interface and I won't have to worry about it.
Wouldn't that be nice?